This has been in my heart for a long time now. Several weeks I've been desirous to share what we're going to share today, what I'm going to share. And I would start by saying I could pretty much say for sure that everybody has heard the saying, be careful what you wish for. You've heard be careful what you wish for? Not necessarily biblical, by the way, but right, we say that. And then in the Christian family, some of us have added over the years, be careful what you pray for. Yeah. Any of you heard that? Also not exactly biblical. Nowhere does it say if you pray for something, right, like patience. That's the famous one. Be careful if you pray for patience, because then you can say it, Pastor, God's going to allow some things in your life for you to work the patience out in. And again, Scripture doesn't say that explicitly. By experience, I can say it does seem that way sometimes, right? So today, I would add something for the last 3 weeks. It's kind of comically going in my head, which is be careful what you decide to preach about. Be careful what you decide to preach about, because this sermon was already in place. It had been coming to me through the everyday church and what I've been going through. And so a title that came to me, it was actually from the New American Standard in the little subtitles that are given to your sections, right? The cure for anxiety. The cure for anxiety. So you can kind of guess where I'm going with this. I had some serious challenges to my anxiety level in these coming weeks. So I don't want to say any more than that. I'm not sure exactly, right? Exactly how it got to me, how much God was involved in allowing it. But I can tell you for sure, it's been a huge blessing. In the end, it's been a huge blessing because I really have been able to practice what I'm going to preach. Practice what I'm going to preach. And I don't overly like the word preach. I think of it as I'm bringing a message today, but it's definitely from the Word of God. Your scriptures, words of Jesus himself, words of the Apostle Paul, God cares about what you're going through. God is desirous to be there for us in this world that is anxious, right? And 2,000 years ago, Jesus addressed worry and anxiety at a pretty high level. And the Apostle Paul is where we're going to be looking in Philippians. The core verse is Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm not going to say the verse just yet. Many of you know it. I don't come here saying I'm going to bring something totally new. That's not my point. But I do believe God was showing me some things that I would like to share. The verses that are around Philippians 4:6 are really what we're going to talk a lot about today. Talk a lot about today in terms of how it will help the whole situation. I do believe at this time in our history, this idea of anxiety and worry, it's in pandemic proportions, isn't it? It is a plague. It's never been worse. And unfortunately, one of my boys, the youngest, is 18. What's sad to see in his life is, it's just, this is the way it is, Dad. This is what I expect life to be from here on out. This is a crazy time we live. This is a crazy country we're living in right now, and all the different divisions and struggles. And then that's before COVID came. Right? And then what went on and is going on in politics, and let's add Afghanistan, and let's add, you know, raging forest fires. The news, what we turn on often during the day, it is pouring fuel for anxiety into our lives, right? You don't even have to shake your head. It's just true. So part of what I would like to tell you is watch less news, but that's my defense, but not that many people can live the way I live. I've been beautifully protected by God through the ministries of Main Place and the thrift store, Second Time Store, the Everyday Church, and the men's home, right? I don't have TV. I mean, I have a DVD player, don't get me wrong, those of you who know, and I have a monitor, but I don't watch the news. And so in many ways I'm blessed. But We'll move on from there, the scriptures. So my story, my sermon illustrations come from, I'll do my best to share so you get the gist of it, but not the details aren't so important, but I'm on the phone with a friend, and I can tell they're not, I don't know why I'm kind of loud. I might not even need this, right? So I can tell they don't feel well. I can hear it in their voice, right? You know, when someone's coming down with something, you don't sound well. Yeah, I left work 2 hours early even, and this person works in healthcare and knows they've been around COVID-infected patients. So I'm actually going tomorrow to get tested for COVID. I have to get back to work. And from that conversation on, I haven't been able to hear from them. I leave a text, hey, praying for you, and I'm quite concerned. Nothing back. That's unusual. Phone calls go straight to voicemail, regular voicemail, where they just say, hi, you've reached, leave a number. And so I leave a couple times a day. So I find myself, right, as you can all relate to, the anxiety is welling up in me. It's coming up. It's no way around it, right? And so this is coming up, and this verse that God had me prepared with, right, Philippians 4:6. And you know how long ago I've been prepared? From my time in the men's home. In the Inside Out men's home, going through the survival kit. You guys, many of you are familiar with the survival kit. We went through it. Pastor Drew went through it here, right? And you guys did kind of an interactive study. Well, it encourages the memorization of 8 Bible verses, or 8, some of them are a couple verses, but 8 places where you memorize scripture. And in the men's home, when I went through the Inside Out men's home way back, it's now 8, 9 years ago, we took it real serious, and every Friday morning, we went around the table and we recited them until every guy in the home could do all 8. And one of them was Philippians 4:6. So it is in my head and in my heart to this day, in the NIV, right? I have a New American Standard now, but do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, right? Present your request to God, and then 7 adds, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What tremendous verses. I'm going to say a couple of times today, one of the things I am going to encourage, right, is that you memorize that verse. Memorize both verses. I'm very, very serious. Every time I've had my most difficult times in life in these last 8 or 9 years, verses God already had me prepared with through memorization came into play. The eye surgery, which is now coming up on 2 years ago, when I couldn't read, when I had retina reattachment, I had been on a campaign for the 3 months previous, memorizing whole sections of Scripture, trying my best, right? Some of the best parts of the New Testament. So while I'm face down on this donut-shaped massage chair, because I have to stay prone and I can't do anything, I got an eye patch, and I can run these Scriptures over in my mind. And it was wonderful. I mean, I don't know what I'd have done without that for those first couple of weeks. So each time I thought, oh my gosh, how come I'm not hearing back? And you know how it is, right? Or maybe it's just me. I'm thinking the worst. Oh, man, they got it bad. They're hospitalized. They can't get to their phone. The COVID's, you know, ravaging their body. This is terrible. Why am I not getting a phone? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So it's not a mantra, don't get me wrong, but as I would say it, and I would say it either out loud or to myself, then comes the prayer, Lord, intervene, bring health and healing, just take care of the situation. And with thanksgiving, we're going to talk about that every time I say it. Don't miss that part. It is part of the cure for anxiety. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this person. Thank you for our friendship, right? There's things to thank God for. Thank you for salvation. I happen to know this person's a believer. You can always thank God. Thank God Pastor Martin knows you as Lord and Savior, right? You can pray in the most difficult times when people are hurting, Pastor Martin being in the hospital, and you can give thanks. Amen? You guys with me? So I hugely encourage you to memorize 4:6, and I would add 4:7, because that's the end, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And in NASB, and I think New King James, passes all comprehension. So you can't understand it. I also like that it adds, will guard your heart and your mind, because there's times it's like, I get it up here, but emotionally, this is, I'm stressing. Amen. Or the other way around, right? But God said, I'm going to guard your heart and your mind with this peace, with this peace. So, the cure for anxiety. We do know Jesus cared a lot about it. I'm going to just highlight. It's not going to come up on the boards or anything like that. But let me show you, remind you, in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Pretty important teaching of our Lord Jesus in Matthew. It goes Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, if you get the whole Sermon on the Mount. But in chapter 6, in the area between verses 25 and 34, he keeps saying these kind of things, right? For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Do not worry then. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Jesus cares, doesn't he? A huge part of the Sermon on the Mount is him talking about that. And then I realized also one of the other amazing portions of Scripture where we really feel the heart of our Savior is in the book of John, starting in John 14, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. If you have a red letter edition Bible, it's all red. It's Jesus. And although it's chapter 14, he is just days away from his crucifixion. These are very important words to his disciples, ending with John chapter 17, which is what we call the high priestly prayer, right? He starts that whole wonderful talk with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He knows our hearts get troubled. He knows we're going to get worried. He knows we're going to get anxious. This is 2,000 years ago. The very first words, I think it's hugely important. He's going to go on to share so many things in chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. But he starts with, do not let your hearts be troubled. The very next word is faith. Believe in God, believe also in me. And the whole thing ends before the high priestly prayer. John 16, 33, he says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. The world will make you anxious. The world's going to make you want to worry. But take courage, I've overcome the world. It's important to Jesus. There, I can really say he hopes that we can have an actual cure for anxiety. The world and its system, it wants to treat the symptoms, right? And your pharmacist wants to give you, and your doctor wants to give you pills that will help with your anxiety and your depression and your, right, all the different things. That's just treating the symptoms. You have other people that just decide, I'm just going to check out of society, right? We have all these different options, but the scriptures teach us a cure for anxiety, amen? So, certainly, I have already told you, and I'll keep repeating it, I don't mind, I do believe you should memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If not, have it as a paraphrase and certainly understand what it's saying. Anytime that feeling comes, and you know that feeling, I don't have to tell you, right? It's coming, then do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, you present it to God. And one thing I have also learned many times, like right now, you can't see, but I have a cross in front of me there, and you guys are looking at a cross. I come, and I imagine I kind of have like a backpack, and I have all these concerns, all these rocks, all these things I'm carrying, and I come to the cross, and I pray, and I say, Lord, I care about this. I'm worried about my son's salvation, and I got this going on. I got that, and I want to give it to you, all right? You got it? I believe it. Okay, well, I'll be talking to you later, right? I take them back. Has anyone else done that? I love the line in a Mercy Me song. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. You're supposed to leave it. You're supposed to leave it. So when you come, it's rising up, whatever is the concern, right? It's rising up, and you say, God, I want to give this to you with prayer and petition. We'll talk a little bit about those words. With thanksgiving, Lord, thank you. You can even just thank you that you're hearing me. And that you care about me. Your word tells me you care about my anxiety and worry. So I want to give you this and leave it with them. And leave it with them. That's part of it. You say the thanksgiving, you add that in, and you leave it, and you will, as promised, get some peace. You will get the peace that only God can bring. So today, I think I've been helped a lot by paying attention to the verses north and south of Philippians 4, 6. So I think it'll come up. I'm going to read it. This is going to be New American Standard. It is what I have been using to study for a long time. For me, I don't care. I have it memorized in the NIV. I read it in New American Standard. We're going to listen to these verses, and then we're going to talk about together how I think we can really shore up this cure for anxiety according to the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So, this is Philippians 4. Apologize. Well, I don't have to apologize. My mom's here. She'll tell me, stop apologizing. I have to hold it kind of funny because of the way my eyes work. But I'm going to read for you New American Standard, starting in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about. I still hope in the end of this day and when I walk away from here prayerfully that you take it upon yourself to revisit Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And again, I would heartily suggest that you memorize it and put it into practice, right? Not again, not just to say it as a saying, but in the saying of it, you begin this fire suppression. Let's think of it that way, right? Let's think of anxiety as a wildfire, as kind of a forest fire, right? We've got some out-of-control ones in Northern California, and I'm sure other places too, right? Think about how fire works. Well, as the heat, as the flames are rising, and I can say, do not be anxious about anything, right? I get it going, and then I say a prayer. It's not enough to say the verse. I say, Lord, I need your help in this. Lord, I need this fire put out. Lord, help me, right? And so you give it to him. You give it to him with thanksgiving, and you trust it into his hands, and the peace does and will come. Sometimes, immediately, sometimes it takes a little while. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but look at the clues we have here. So I started trying to figure out how to put it to words. What are things we can do to shore up this verse 6, right? Because sometimes we can be guilty of sort of, we call it foxhole prayers, right? There we are. The emergency is right up on us. Oh, Lord, get me out of this fire. Well, imagine your property. Imagine you had a home in the woods. There are things you can do to help keep your house from burning down. Clear some brush, make fire roads, put a proper roof on that won't burn with the embers, right? I really believe these verses are like that. So the first point I have, things that you can do that surround the center of this prayer, this ability to give everything to God, the first one is there are right attitudes that you can express. This to me is, this is clearing the brush around the house. This is adding like a sprinkler system. It's going to start letting the fire, right, go the direction you want, which is out, putting the fire out. You want to start putting the fire out? You start expressing joy. It's a right attitude to express. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I love this from the Apostle Paul. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Again, I say rejoice. You remember, rejoicing is the expression of joy. It's not enough to just say, and you ask me, I'm happy, I'm joyful. Rejoice means say it, express it, share it. How you doing today? Oh, man, you know, it was a tough commute in, but the Lord is good, right? The Lord is good. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for the thrift store to have for work. You're rejoicing. You're rejoicing. The sprinklers have started. You're doing some fire suppression. You're not just hanging out in the foxhole till it's right up on you and you gotta lob the prayer of 4:6. The scripture teaches you have an attitude. You express an attitude of joy. I know it's not easy. It isn't, especially if our whole life we let the enemy get us in the foxhole the whole time. Well, how am I supposed to be joyful? I'm in it all the time, right? Well, if you're following the scriptures, you're getting yourself some spiritual breathing space, and then from there, it's a much stronger place to be in. You start rejoicing, and you will build joy. You can act your way into a feeling in many ways. So express joy. And this says what next? Express gentleness. These aren't just random words. I don't mean to say it that way. That came across kind of wrong. Meaning, it's a great statement, but I had it in my mind kind of detached. The same with the next one, says, the Lord is near. Yeah, okay. I think this is really in a flow. Paul is talking about standing firm, if you go back any farther, right? We talk about building a better future, has been the several last Sunday sermons. Now that you're here, how do you hold that ground? These are scriptures, how you hold that ground. Part of the way you get the brush cleared around your life, you get the sprinklers going so the fire doesn't get out of control in the first place, is rejoice. Amen? Express joy and watch flames diminish. Watch anxiety diminish. And then basically, what does it mean to let your gentleness, be made known to all men? That's humility. That's gentleness. That's the mind of Christ. Selfless humility is telling you, and again, it says express it. Don't just have it inside, but go out of your way to express selfless humility. Be gentle like Jesus was. Be rejoicing. Be acting Christ-like in your life with your coworkers, with your family members, with your neighbors. If I'm acting Christ-like in the men's home, right? If I'm doing my best at that, it's amazing how the fires don't spring up the same way. And when they start, they go out a lot faster because we're all being kind and we're all loving. We're all going out of our way, right? And so this is important stuff. You want the cure for anxiety? Yes. Philippians 4:6, I can't say it enough, but you stretch it out farther to this whole section and you will be able to build a life that protects from some of the worst, right? Then I guess I forgot to say this, but I want to say, Jesus never says, don't ever feel anxious. That's wrong of you to ever get worried. Oh, ye of little faith. That's not what he's saying. He says, do not be anxious. Don't continue in the anxiety mode. So it wells up, and you give it to him in prayer. It wells up, and you give it to him in prayer. And even better, as we're talking about, you add this fire suppression. You rejoice. You let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Again, I kind of went past that many times. In those, the Lord is near. Four words. It reminds you, Jesus is present always. He's as close as your breath. And I think Paul, whenever he talks about that, is also reminding us, and anything that happens, you're getting called home to eternity. Amen. Or the Lord is near, he's going to come back anytime. Either way you look at it, he's present with you. He is never going to leave you nor forsake you. The worst of what the world might think is, you close your eyes, you wake up in eternity, the Lord is near, amen? Amen. The Lord is coming back anytime, amen? Amen. So that idea like, oh, the United States is doomed, where it's only downhill from here. Amen. That's anxiety, right? And it could possibly be true, but the Lord is near. Amen. See how I really believe Paul has really given us such an amazing thing. Jesus came and said, don't be worried, don't be worried, don't let your hearts be troubled. And Paul, and Jesus knew Paul would write this, Jesus knew we would have Philippians. Don't forget that. Oh, here's some real practical. How you can participate, rejoice. Do your best to express joy. Do your best to express gratitude and thankfulness. Be gentle towards others. Do your best to express Christ-likeness. And always keep in mind, the Lord is near. It was essential to the Apostle Paul. You read all the epistles, everything Paul wrote. He absolutely understood Jesus was always with him, and whatever happened, he was going home to be with him. When he talks about the hope of glory, the future hope, every time you see Paul say hope, part of what he always has in mind, I point over here because I use the timeline as you're looking at me, right? We're being called home, and then I have a body that has no more decay, no more death, no more disease. That really does suppress fire and anxiety in our life. It should, shouldn't it? That's some real brush clearing that you've done there. And that's like, remember again, Jesus said towards the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, he goes, you want to protect your life from the floods and the rainstorms and all that? Then take my word and do it. right? That's the very end of chapter 7 of Matthew, right? Put my words into practice. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to put these into practice. So you guys know what you're supposed to do? Rejoice. When? Always, right? Be more gentle. Be more Christ-like towards others. You guys got that one too? And remember always the nearness of the Lord. I would wish upon every believer that they really absolutely understood that Jesus is as close as their breath. He is absolutely, he will not leave you nor forsake you. And he is with you in the trial, in the valley, in the difficulty. And I know, again, it's not easy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They are in the fire. Not a pleasant place to be, no way around it. It was not fun, that little walk up when they're getting kicked inside that oven. But they just decided to have faith. And sure enough, from the mouth of the pagan king himself, there's one like the Son of God in there with them. Jesus is in the fire with you. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great already? I'll do my best. I won't try to take too long. So then comes the great verse. But you see how you're not just in the foxhole and the fire is right up on you and now you're giving it to the Lord, which is always okay. You can always come to him with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. The idea, by the way, let's go ahead and talk about this. It's just Paul covering the bases. The word prayer is the word in Greek that covers all forms of what we think of prayer. I don't have to get too deep on that. It includes giving thanks and giving praise and asking, right? And all the things we think of as prayer. Conversation with God. Talking to God, talking with God about things that are important to both of you. Amen. That's a great way to just think of prayer. Supplication or petition is specifically asking for something from a person of lower status from a person of higher status. So the word could be used in Greek. I would come to Pastor Rich and say, I really need to stay off, right? That's supplication. That's asking for him to do something in my life. So Paul just adds that. And you can be asking for other people, by the way. Your supplication, petition, is coming and praying on behalf of other people. But basically, Paul is just saying all the ways that you can come and talk to God. But don't forget, supplication reminds us you can ask. We've talked about that before. One of my sermons is about the power of asking. Ask. Ask God. Don't be shy, right? The Holy Spirit is on your side. According to Romans 8, he's going to even shape your prayer. Right, so that it hits God's ears. So we have this beautiful thing. We're rejoicing as best we can, expressing joy, expressing our Christ-like attitude towards others, remembering that the Lord is near. And then there's the prayer in the middle of it, verse 6. But go on ahead. Now, the way Paul writes, I realize, there's almost too many good words here, right? He overwhelms us in verse 8, overwhelming us with all these things. But look at how good this is, if you'll find my little slide. I had right attitudes, right? And then I have, so this is right thoughts to dwell on. Right thoughts to dwell on. This is a huge deal. This is where, again, I would argue, not too strongly, that maybe we're letting too many thoughts that aren't good to dwell on. How many of these words are going to fit what you hear on the evening news? Not enough of them. And not the amount of saturation we get. Right? Because this is what you're supposed to be dwelling on. We talked about one part of it already. It was the Lord is near. That's what we're dwelling on, his nearness. He's always with us. He's going to take us home. He's coming back soon. Always that. And then these things. Finally, brethren, that's us. Whatever's true, so that means not what's false. Don't dwell on what's false. Dwell on things that are honorable, not on things that are dishonorable. The negative kind of helps, I think. Whatever is right, don't be dwelling on what is wrong. You can notice it. Hey, that's not right. That's wrong. But don't hang out there. Don't camp there. Don't stay all day on how wrong that was that it went this way in the election. How wrong that is that this is happening in Washington. It's not what the scripture teaches. Again, it's okay. You think it, but what are you going to dwell on? I'm going to dwell on what's right. You know what? God says he's got us no matter what. God says he's coming back, right? And if this gets bad enough, well then, it just means Jesus is coming sooner. That's something right I'm going to dwell on. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, there's a lot of unlovely stuff we don't need to be watching. Do I need to say things like the Jerry Springer Show? Is that thing still on? That's just America's unloveliness, you know, paraded in front of us. I don't want anyone to feel bad. That's not my point. That's not my point. If you like garbage TV, that's between you and. But right, but you want a cure for anxiety? I do. I'm tired of being worried. I'm tired of being anxious. And I'm so glad I have 4:6, right? Philippians. I'm so glad I have prayer. But I see when I am doing this, when I'm clearing the brush of my life and I'm building a structure on the Word of God, so now it's more fireproof on the top and solid on the foundation. Wow. It is. The fires are different. The worry is different. It's manageable. So I'm looking at what's right and pure and lovely, whatever is of good repute. And then he just goes on and gets real sweeping. If there's anything that's excellent, don't spend your time dwelling on the awful, right? Anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Isn't that good? Figure out a way to do more dwelling on these kind of awesome things, good things, the Word of God. And you know, this means friends and family and laughter and meals together and taking a walk at the park and the beach. These are good things, right? And they are part of your cure for anxiety and fire suppression. Dwell and do and occupy yourself with good things and less of all this negative. Amen?
Amen.
And so I think, what's my last point? I should have it. I have it here. I do have notes. Right examples to follow, right? It goes right actions to take. That's the prayer. Right examples to follow. Paul really gave us a really comprehensive cure for anxiety because Paul goes ahead and adds, right? The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. All right. He's writing to the Philippians. He was very fond of them. He stopped there often. They were at a place, the city was at a place at the top of a horseshoe, as it were. As he's going between Asia Minor, Ephesus, and between Corinth and Athens and that, Philippi is at the top of the route he took, so he would stop in often. He was very fond of them. So they got to know him. He says, what you've seen in me. And so that you don't think he's a little too egotistical, don't forget what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said to the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So that's implied in here. Paul says, I've been chasing hard after Jesus ever since the Damascus Road. So you've seen in me the way I'm handling things and the way I handle when the fires are coming my way. Follow those examples. So for us, right, I was thinking about the kids. Alex asked me to print this up. She said, want to talk to our kids about it. I think about, you know, the parents. These are good examples to follow. You have godly parents. You have the pastors. You have your teachers. For us, we have godly examples to follow. When you think about Pastor Rich, Pastor Martin, Pastor Don, Pastor Drew, these are examples to follow. I learn daily from Pastor Rich. It's where my office is. He's two doors down, right? So I'm seeing him almost every day. So that's really what Paul's getting at, right? Pay attention to that. I can forget it, right? It's because it's just fire coming at me. It's just all bad news. So hopefully, as we look at this, right, isn't this such a great passage? I mean, we've all known that. Many of you have been fond of this section of Philippians. But in the middle of it, as you're rejoicing, as you're following good examples, as you're having right attitudes, right, as you're dwelling on right things, you're clearing your life, your house. Again, think of the property, and you've put in the fire roads, and you've cleared out all those weeds, and you've put a good roof on and a good foundation, and now you have 4:6 always there, no matter what. Then it's still going to come, by the way, with all this. Still going to come, still going to get those phone calls, you're still going to have those conversations, it's still going to be rough at work and neighborhood driving. Lord knows the freeways are bad enough. And then it's, do not be anxious about anything. It's been an incredible week for me. By the way, it didn't resolve in a good way in my situation. Nobody passed away, but I didn't hear for over a week on this person I was talking to or trying to talk to on the phone. So all week long as I'm preparing for this message, I'm doing it. I got 4:6 in the NIV in my head, and I'm so glad I do. So we're going to end with that. We'll end with a prayer. I'm going to pray for us, me included. But I think you should own. Let's just say it that way. If the word memorize is something I'm saying too much, own Philippians 4:6. To not be anxious about anything. Don't stay in the anxiety. But in everything, you come to God with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and you leave it with Him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds. And you live out these other verses. I would suggest revisiting them. And it is truly, truly some cure for anxiety. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love. The motivation for all that you do in our life is because you love us, because you desire a relationship with us, and you don't want us dwelling in anxiety and worry. You don't want us troubled. So the scriptures are filled with your promises. So help us take hold of those, Lord. Help us put into practice. Help us put into practice what we were looking at today, that we would be a people who rejoice more often, who follow our good examples, who dwell on the lovely and beautiful things, and who come to you often with prayer and petition and thanksgiving and giving our desires and our burdens to you. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you're the one who said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Help us to answer that, Lord, and come to you often. Run to the Father again and again and again, like we sang. I pray that blessing on this congregation. I pray that blessing on all who are watching. Holy Spirit, prompt us from this day forward, more than we have maybe in these last weeks and months and even year. Prompt us more often to come to you and give you our burdens and our cares and ask for your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.